Amen. Stands ready, and he's willing. You see, he's able to do, he's able to do what you need him to do for you. God stands ready, and he's willing. You see, he's able to do what you need things in life we try to obtain. We work, still we can claim. But if it's in God's will for you, you'll find this to be true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Because God stands ready, and he's willing. You see, he's able to do, able to do what you need. God stands ready, and he's willing. You see, he's able to do, able to do. The things that we want, we try to get them any way that we can. You know that's not how God works. He's got a master plan. But you gotta be faithful and steadfast and do what you should. You know, for those who love the Lord, he's working it out for your good. Cause God stands ready, and he's willing. You see, he's able to do, he's able to do what you need him. My God stands ready. You see, he's willing. You know, he's able to do what you need him. Oh, he's ready. I said he's ready. If you open the door, he'll come in and he'll sup with you. Not only that, he's willing. I said he's willing. He's willing. My God is willing. Not only that, he's able. I said he's able. He's able. Yes, he's able. And he's ready to do what you need him to do for you. God stands ready, and he's willing. You see, he's able to do, able to do. God stands ready.
I need thee every hour. Eternal and everlasting God, the God of peace, the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of forgiveness. How thankful we are that every hour we need to feel one, if not all, of your attributes in our lives. Bless now the people of God as we seek to hear from heaven. Bless now this man of God that you placed in this place as I stand behind this sacred desk. I pray for a fresh anointing that your power may fall in this place as never before. That your people who hear your voice will declare that God is God, and above him there is none other. Speak now for your servants here. Then when the service has been completed, we pray that we will be quick to give God the glory, saying to God be the glory for the things that he has done. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
why are you worrying
about God
giving last minute grace? Come on now.
Why are you worried
about God giving last minute grace? In the gospel according to Matthew, in that 20th chapter, we began with that first verse and read through the 15th. It is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Matthew, the writer of our text, begins his gospel with the birth and early years of Jesus. He has us to look at his Jesus genealogy, his birth, his sojourn in Egypt in the first two chapters. And then in that last chapter, in that 26th chapter, he helps us to look at the arrest, trials, and death of Jesus. And in that 28th chapter, the resurrection, the earthquake, the angels announcing about the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus' encounter with the women, the God's report, and the Jewish elders' bribe. And he ends his book with the great commission to all of us to go and preach and teach, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we have that promise, lo, I'm with you always. In that 20th chapter, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landlord who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a penny for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said unto them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, each received a penny. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a penny. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landlord. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Did you not agree to work for a penny? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the men who has hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, why are you worried about God giving last minute grace? Hello? Why are you worried about God giving last minute grace? Nobody pays a day's wage to 1 hour workers but God. Deathbed converts and lifelong sinners enter into heaven by the same gate. They did not enjoy the same rewards, but they are saved by the same grace. Why do you worry about what God does for somebody else? God is saving a place for you. Notice, worry is unnecessary because of God's love. God loves the worker, the saint who has been in the church since he or she was 6 or 7 years old, and now 96 or 100 or 104. When they die, they shall receive their reward. But if someone joins the church at the age of 6 and the Lord calls him or her home at the age of 7, do you not know that God has a reward for those who joined the church and just served for 2 or 3 years? God is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. Worry is not necessary because of God's love. And so when we look at the big picture, the big picture tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. It does not say whosoever believed in him a long time shall have eternal life. It says whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. The Bible tells us that greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for the one
that he loves. And God loves us so much until Paul tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then the man of God tells us that God is love. It is unnecessary to worry about finances, the basis of life, and what we should eat or drink because of who our Heavenly Father is. The people of God sees him in his providence. The very hairs of their head are numbered, and the grace of God is with them in every affair of life. And so we don't have to worry about what somebody else is receiving from God, because we know that God loves us too. I don't have to worry about what you got and what you are receiving and the blessings that God has given you, because there is a blessing with my name on it. All I have to do is just wait on the Lord. I like what Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Thanks be to God for the power and the ability to wait on him. To wait on him does not mean that I'm not doing anything. It means that while I'm waiting, I'm praying. And while I'm praying, I'm singing. And while I'm singing, I'm preaching. And while I'm preaching, I'm living a life of Christ. For you know, this earthly body shall be destroyed by worms. But if this earthly body, if this earthly temple is destroyed, I have another building not made with hands in the heavens. And so, my brothers and sisters, I say to us today, don't worry. Don't be envious about what somebody else has. Just trust God for yourself. Trust God for the blessing that God has with your name on it. He may not come when you want him, but he's an on-time God. It may take 38 years for Christ to pass your way, but thanks be to God, he's still traveling. He's still passing. Wait on him. He loves us. Secondly, worrying is unable to accomplish anything productive. And so I say to my brothers and sisters that we should see the big picture. Christ comes to seek and to save the lost. And secondly, worrying is unable to accomplish anything productive. And since I worry and you worry about senseless things, we need to flip the switch and focus on our own strength. God gives gifts according to our ability. God does not give us a gift that we cannot handle. He does not give us five gifts when he knows that we can't handle five talents. He may just give us one talent. But the one talent that he gives to us, the one gift that God gives to us, we need to focus on our strength to handle that one gift. And not dig in the ground and bury that one gift. I like what the Apostle Paul says. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that God has given you. Our problem is we don't stir up the gift. We don't take time to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. Have you ever made some soup? And you put all the ingredients in it and walked away? No. We stir up the ingredients that's in the soup so that the soup tastes good, so that the blessing that God gives to us work for our benefit and for the benefit of others. Do you not know that you're blessed to be a blessing? And since we are blessed to be a blessing, we need to stir up whatever gift God has given us. If it's the gift to sing, we need to stir that gift up. We need to sing to the glory and to the power of God. Our problem is we want to satisfy men. That we want to satisfy persons who cannot determine whether we go to heaven or hell. Help me somebody. We want folk to like us. We want folk to appreciate us. But thanks be to God that nobody can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, but Jesus the Christ. So I'm going to stir up the gift that he's given me, the gift of hospitality. Second, we need to stir up that gift. When a stranger comes into our midst, we don't need to look and see if they got on St. John knits. Everybody can't well, he can, but they can't afford it. Everybody cannot afford St. John knits, but whatever I can afford, if it's hand-me-downs, I'm still coming to church to praise God, because he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. When I think about our forefathers with pennies built historical black colleges, and here we are making six figures in the historical black colleges like Bishop College, like Wiley College. They are closing. They are suffering because God has blessed us and we're sitting on the blessing. Focus on your strength. Give God the glory. Stir up the gift that is within you. Wearing is unable to accomplish anything productive. Who of you, the Bible says, by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Not only will you not lengthen your life about worrying, but you will probably shorten it. The Mayo Clinic says that many people who come to his office, who come to the clinic, They come with depression. They come because they are worried about things that they cannot fix. I don't know about you, but I used to wonder and worry about what was going on in Second Baptist. Worry about people who are not coming. Worry about people who are not giving. But guess what? God spoke to me and he said, whoever comes, you preach to them. Whoever gives, you preach to them. Whoever do not give, you preach to them. For you see, their souls rest in you. And if you don't take care of their souls, if you don't preach that the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life, if you don't preach the kingdom of God, when your time comes, God will say to you, depart from me. I know you not. So I'm determined to work for God. For I know that when I worry, I'm unable to accomplish anything productive. Mayo says that they shorten their lives because they worry. And listen to what the text says. The text says that the man goes out and he hires persons to come and work in his vineyard at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., and then at 5 o'clock. But notice these persons that he hires are people who are standing around looking for something to do, looking for some work. We have people in our church who stand around, who are seated around us, who are just waiting for somebody to ask them to be on a committee. But because they don't look like us, they don't smell like us, they don't speak the proper King English like us, can I tell you something? God is not looking at your IQ. God is looking at your I will. I will go. I will serve. I will do what you want me to do. If God was looking at our IQ, many of us wouldn't be where we are today. I wouldn't be preaching. You wouldn't be a deacon. You wouldn't be a trustee. You wouldn't be president of the choir. You wouldn't be on usher board, because God looks beyond our faults and he sees our needs. Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Thank God that he wipes the slate clean and says to us, you can serve if you want to. You can be a part of the kingdom building of Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters, these men were standing around looking for something to do. The first job that I ever had was a job with a labor. I went to a place where they were day hires, where they hired people by the day. Now I went to that job. I only weighed about 128 pounds. And I said to them, I have the strength to do anything you want me to do. Guess what they did? They took me at my word. They sent me to a company called Uvalde Construction Company. And when I walked on the job, the man looked at me and laughed and said, what are you going to do, tie steel for the concrete? I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Guess what he did? He gave me an air hammer, 128 pounds with a hair air hammer. And he said to me, make sure that this concrete is broken up. And guess what? I took that air hammer, drug it to the concrete place, turned it on, and it just shook every piece of my body. But guess what? I held on to it. If God gives you a job, no matter how hard it seems, hold on, hold on, hold on to your chain. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your prayer life. I had a goal. Brother and Sister Shelton, I had a goal, and that goal was to buy a car. It wasn't to pay tuition. It was to buy a car. And guess what? Every time I pushed in and that jackhammer went to hopping and jumping, I just held on because I thought about the car. Whenever you hold on to your purpose that God has given you, just know the winds may blow, the waves may be upon your ship, but if you hold on, you will be blessed. In the end, is there anybody here that held on to a job that folks said you couldn't handle? God blessed you. So my brothers and sisters, see the big picture. For God so loved the world. Focus on your strength. God gives gifts according to our ability. Finally, rely on God's power to save you. These men, they went and they worked in the vineyard. And at the end of the day, the owner called and said, pay them. They all came for their pay. The person that came first came for his pay. The person that came in the middle of the day came for his purpose, for his pay. And then the person that came at the last hour, the 11th hour, the last time, 5 p.m., at the end of the day, the master said, pay the one that came last. Pay him first. Oh, I think if I'd have been there, I'd have been mad because I have been waiting for that payday. And some of us sitting in here, we're mad because somebody got a payday. Because somebody got elected to be the president of a choir. Somebody got elected to be the pastor. But let me tell you something. Whatever God has for you is for you. Nobody can take what belongs to you. The Bible says that he said, pay the one who was last first. And he stepped up there after working 1 hour. He stepped up there with a grin on his face. For as you see, he had contracted with the owner to be paid one penny, to be paid enough for a whole day's work, even though he was going to only work 1 hour. But to see, the Bible helps me to understand that no matter when you start working for Christ, Christ has a payday. Christ has a check with your name on it. And so whether you work 1 hour, whether you work 8 hours, you're going to get your reward. You're going to get your crown in glory. You're going to be crowned with a crown of righteousness. You're going to be crowned with a crown of eternal life. So all you have to do is just step up and get your paycheck. I can see the man who came last stepped up and said, my name is Robert Jemison, and I started at 5 o'clock, and it's now 6 o'clock. I contracted with the master for one day's wage, and I'm here to receive it. I can see the paymaster counting out the penny. Here it is. Take it. Go your way. But here is the one that had worked first. He must have been a Pharisee. He must have been a Sadducee. He must have been a Negro, I see. said, look how long I have worked. I've been singing in the choir. I've sung the Messiah. I've done Handel's Wreck. I've done all that I could to elevate this choir, and I'm still sitting back here in the tenor section, and he just joined yesterday, and he's the leader of the song. But can I tell you something? All you got to do is sing your song. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lee, all you got to sing your song. I've been working for the master a long time. I can see that old deacon saying, I've been serving on the deacon board 37 years. And here this young whippersnapper comes in here and the pastor appoints him chairman of the board of deacon. Guess what? I'm quitting. I'm getting off the deacon board. But let me tell you something, don't get off. Just hang on in there, because God has promised to come back for you. And when he comes back, you want to be ready. You want to be ready to go out to meet him. Don't worry about the young whippersnapper. All you got to do is worry about your testimony. Worry about whether the fact you helped tell somebody about the love of God. Can I help you tell somebody about the love of God? If you can just tell somebody about the name of Jesus. I wished I had time to talk about the name of Jesus. For you see, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. Only can you be saved by the name of Jesus. The Bible helps us to understand the grace of God. God is gracious. And no matter when you start to serve him, just serve him until you can serve no longer. Serve him because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ, the rock hewed out the mountain rolling down through Babylon, how many of you believe in Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, how many of you believe in Jesus Christ, Daniel, our rock hewed out of the mountain. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ, Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel? How many of you believe that Christ is coming back? I believe that he is coming back. And when he comes back, whatever is right, whatever my crown is, whatever the reward is, he'll give me my reward, not your reward. And thanks be to God, I got shoes and you got shoes. I got a robe and you got a robe. All of God's children. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his amazing grace. I too can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Is there anybody here that knows something about the grace of God? I like what the songwriter said. Grace woke me up this morning. Grace started me on my way. Is there anybody here that's been touched by the grace of God? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for his grace. Grace, unmerited favor. I didn't do anything to receive it. But God loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven down to die for my sins. I know some of you don't have any sins, but for my sin, he died. For my sin, he was resurrected. For my sin, he sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. Thank God. Sometimes the work is hard, but his grace, the last hour. Why are you worried about what's mine to give? Do what you are called to do. And God will bless you. Beyond. Refocus. Stop worrying about what I got. Start worrying about what you don't have. Amen. Give your life totally to Christ. Amen. For he says, seek ye first Amen. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. Thank God for the other things. I wish I had time to talk about the other things. Car. Not one car. My wife got a car. Not only does my wife have a car, but my son has a car. Not only does my son have a car, but my daughter has a car. Thank God for what you have. Amen. And don't worry about anybody else's blessing. Just worry about, can I make it in? Amen. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Why? Because it's God's Amen. To give. If it was yours to give, I hate to think about with all this racism, all this bigotry, I hate to think about what you would give or not give. But thanks be to God that God says it's mine to give. Why are you worried about what I got and what I'm giving? God says, I love you. If you just refocus, and if you just rely on the power of God, Amen. You can make it. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Amen. Come on, help me here. I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Standing, choir singing.
I got a feeling
the door to my father.
Everything's gone.
Standing away.
All right. Oh,
I got a feeling. Everything.
Come on, church, everything. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I'll be all right.
Come on.
I'll be all right. I'll be all right. We're gonna sing that one more time. I got a feeling. Come on, church. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I'll be all right. Be all right. I'll be all right.
Come
God
on,
done
boy.
Told me everything's gonna be all right. God done told me. And God done told me everything's gonna be all right. Oh, God done told me everything's gonna be all right. Oh, God done told me that everything's gonna be all right. I'll be all right. Be all right. I'll be all right. Come on, the deacon done told me. I say the deacon done told me Everything's gonna be alright. Oh, the deacon done told me everything's gonna be alright. Oh, the deacon done told me everything's gonna be alright. I'll be alright, be alright, I'll be alright. My pastor done told me, my pastor has told me, my pastor done told me everything's gonna be alright. Oh, my pastor done told me everything's gonna be alright. Oh, my pastor done told me that everything's gonna be alright.